but my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. Just when where I began, where human effort was all in vain. Were it not for grace, I could tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to a friend who took my place and ran the course I could not start. And when he saw in just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go.
I know how that would go.
The battles I would face, forever running but losing.
Thank you for that, girls. Let's stand briefly, if we could, for the reading of the scripture, John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, and we will read verses 1 through 11. John chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 to 11. We've been talking, just real simply, nothing earth-shattering. We've been talking about some familiar verses over the last few months, and just looking at some verses we know and maybe we understand well, and seeing some of the truth that maybe we miss sometimes if we don't really look through it and see what is in it. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the few minutes we have together this morning. I pray as we look at your word that you would help us to see something that would help us in our lives. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Most people, in some way or another, if they think about it, as we live this life, we want to accomplish something. We want to be a part of or do something that has meaning, that's more than just living within ourselves. No one wants to really get to the end of their life and look back at their life and say, you know, as I look back at my years on this earth, I've not accomplished anything. I've not done anything or made a difference. Nobody really wants to be about that. People use the word legacy. They talk much about it. What is your legacy? What is the legacy you want to leave? A legacy is what you have left behind when you are gone, what you have accomplished when it is all said and done. Think of the legacy of some of the men of the Bible that we read about on a regular basis. We think about the Apostle Paul and how God used him, and he was a great missionary, started churches and helped the early church. We think of Elisha, who followed Elijah, and after Elijah died, instead of being content, he asked God to give him a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And if you look through the Bible, you see that Elisha had twice as many miracles than Elijah, and he was a great, great man. See Abraham and how God used him and his faith for him to be the father of the Jewish people. We think of Moses and how God used him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And then we see Joshua and how God allowed Joshua and used Joshua to lead them into the promised land and all the battles that they faced. And then Peter and his place in the founding of the early church after Christ left this earth. Many, many men, we could go on, but many men in the Bible left a great legacy. There are some in the Bible who left negative legacies. Look at some of the kings. They were not good guys. One of the worst of all time was a man named Manasseh. Manasseh was so bad that even at the end of his life, he repented. He got it right, and he tried to change some of the things that he did because he realized what he had done, but it was too late. And even when he was off the scene, God said, listen, his sins were so bad, even though there was good kings after him, we're done here. Think of King Ahab and all that he did. And then ladies, think of his wife, Jezebel. She was horrible. She was horrible. Judas. Nobody names their kid Judas. You know, what's your daughter's name? Oh, we named her Jezebel. And I have a son named Judas. Now, some of them should be named Jezebel and Judas, right? But we won't go there this morning. Cain killed his brother. So there's legacies that we all leave. Nobody really, now some people, they get caught up in the wrong things, but nobody would say, you know what? I want to live a life where I accomplish nothing. What does the world say? You're a zero. Nothing. Did you know, spiritually speaking, we can accomplish and become a zero? We read our verse today. Jesus said in verse 5, "For without me, you can do nothing." I looked up the word nothing. You know what it means? Zero. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Whew. Nothing. Jesus, that's what he was saying. If we look through our verses, we'll see what it takes to have a spiritual legacy. Not that we'll be spiritual big shots. Not that maybe nobody will know our names and our names will not be well known. But as we leave this earth, there will be something left behind that affected somebody, that affected somebody or something for some spiritual good. Maybe it'll be in your children, in your family. We talk much about the next generation. By the way, we need a next generation. We need a generation that doesn't just follow everything that's going on out there, but looks at the Bible and Christianity doesn't think it's some old, outdated. By the way, let me say this. We listen to the media and what's on television way too much. If you can't see how slanted they are, there is something wrong. And I'm not here to talk about politics, but there will say nothing negative about Hillary. Okay? But, and I'm not, I'm look at, you say, these two candidates, do you love any of them? No. But this election is important because it will determine our Supreme Court. And if you have an IQ over anything, you understand which way Hillary would take it. Okay? So it's a big deal. But you know, listen, she should be in jail. That was free. If any Republican or anybody did what she did, they would be calling for their head. But I'm just saying, what we do is, and not just in politics, and I had to get that out, and I'm sorry, but in everything in life, we just listen to what the media says, and it's the truth. Okay? Can I just tell you something? Most of the people in our country don't believe half the garbage that's being spewed out, but because we're afraid to stand up and say something, because we'll be censored, and the media will make us sound like we're some kind of imbecile, We stand by and we're silent. I don't even know what that had to do with this, but the next generation. Listen, that's not reality out there. That's nonsense. But we need to leave something for the next generation. Maybe you'll leave a legacy in somebody you've introduced to Jesus Christ, helping others to be faithful to serve God and you just being faithful in serving God. In these verses, he gives us a rundown on what it takes to make that happen. He gives us a picture of how this kind of life can happen. In the analogy that Jesus is giving here, it's a vineyard. But for the sake of helping us understand it, think of it of a farming situation. He's talking about growth. And Jesus is the vine, the main trunk, the main source. And as Christians, we are the branches. And as we are connected to Jesus Christ, he and his life flows through us and good things happen spiritually. You see, the deal he's talking about is growth. And growth only comes as we are here serving Jesus Christ. He tells us how spiritual growth really takes place. I've been here long enough to hear people. And I've been in other churches much in the past before we started the church here. But I've met many people, they've either left our church, I've heard them, they left other churches, and they always talk about the issues. Well, it's this and that in the church. And by the way, if it's the church, then why didn't they leave and just go to another good church? It's never the church, people. Well, the church just pushes this, this, and this. No, the church pushes you to the Bible. See, the reason people get off course is because you're more of a churchian than you are a Christian. God didn't ask us to be churchians. He asked us to be Christians. He asked us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ through his book. And when people don't do that, all the little things of life and all the things in the church, they see as an irritation. Well, the church says this, and the church says, no. It's about you and your relationship with God. And if you nail that down and you get that right, everything will be okay. It's never about what's happened here. It's always about what they're not willing to do as they see in the Bible. The Christianity is not simply doing things. It's a relationship with God. Now, by the way, when we have that relationship with God, and I'm getting ahead of myself, we will grow, and as we grow, he'll cultivate things in our life, and we will change, but that'll all be naturally. See, sometimes young people come here, and listen, our school, we have rules. And sometimes young people don't understand it. By the way, all schools have rules. Don't you sit here, well, your school, I don't like, you make the kids do this and that. All schools have rules. Does that rule make them a good person? No, but you have to have rules. But sometimes kids that grow up in church, they don't get what the Bible is saying. They just want to do certain things, and I can't wait till I get out of here. You've never cultivated a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that's a message for another day. What's the problem? Problems of verse 5. For without me, you can do nothing. There's no options there. There's no loopholes. There's no possibilities. Without him, you know what you're going to accomplish? Nothing. You may have some things that may look good for a little while, but they're built on sand. And the storms will come, and the house will fall. What's the point? I don't know about you. I was going to say, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I didn't point. Sit up straight. Behave yourself. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a nothing. I don't want to accomplish nothing. So what is that all about? Well, I'm going to share two thoughts with you, and we'll be done. First of all, I want you to see some of the things that he wants for us. Some things that will that he wants to do in our lives that will keep us from being spiritual. And I almost hesitate to say it because it sounds mean, and take it the way I'm saying it. Being a spiritual zero. Okay? What are some of the things? Look, verse 2. He wants us to be fruitful. He's the vine. We're the branch. Verse 2, he says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. If you read through these verses, he talks about having fruit. He wants us to have fruit in our life. What is fruit? Fruit is something that grows naturally as a result of being healthy. We are just a branch, and if we are connected to the vine and we're healthy spiritually, there is going to be fruit in our life. In other words, there are going to be evidence, things that are taking place in our life because of our growth and us and our being connected to him. There are going to be things in our life that are evidences that we are spiritually in good standing. Fruit. By the way, Jesus did say in another verse, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, by the way, you can fake it for a while. When I was a little kid growing up, they had the wax fruit was kind of a big deal. Man, I don't think that is now. You know, you sit there. I remember when I was a little boy, the neighbor next door had wax fruit and in a bowl. And it looked like the real deal, but it was wax. And if you took a bite of that, that wasn't good. It was fake. You know, you can manufacture false fruit for a while, but if it's not genuine, it won't last. Yep. It won't last. God wants us to have lasting fruit in our life. There are so many different things, and I'm not going to go into the fruit of the Spirit, the attitudes that grow in us as Christians because we're connected to him. But God wants us to have fruit. Many Christians settle for a fruitless life. Look, it's like nothing grows in the desert except for cactuses, and those are painful, and tumbleweeds. They're just weeds that blow around. The desert's not a really... Some people love the desert. Anybody here you like the desert? I don't. You should move there. Take Raul with you. I like going up north. Pacific Northwest, it's green. Yeah. It's like, those are colors you don't see a lot. You ever been to Lancaster? It is not green. Yeah. Mojave Desert, it's not green. Okay? You know, when we drive up to Bishop, there's a road that says, go this way to the Dead Sea. I ain't going. What's the hot place? Death Valley. That doesn't sound like fun. It's not called Life Valley. It's called Death Valley for a reason. It's hot. It's barren. But fruit is not life. But most Christians settle for a barren life. You settle for that. Why? When we can have something so much better. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be purged. Verse 2. And every branch that he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You see, the barren branch has some issues, and it's not producing fruit, so it's just cut off because it's sucking life out of everybody else. So, but the ones that are fruitful, if little things start to grow on it, that would divert some of that life-giving source that could go to the fruit, you prune it so that the fruit is better. Do you know God wants to prune us? What does he do? He cuts away those things in our life that are keeping us from having the fruitful life that he wants us to have. That's a good thing. If you're a Christian and you're trying to grow in your faith, God's going to be pruning you. He's going to be changing you. He's going to be working on you. Why? Because he hates me? No, because he loves you. And he wants something better for you. He wants us to be purged. And to the extent that we allow him to purge us is to the extent that we'll be fruitful. Do you know there's different levels of fruitfulness? I was reading earlier this week in Matthew 13, and this verse popped in my mind when I was putting this together. Matthew 13, verse 23, the parable of the seed sown in the heart. There's certain hearts and some are bad. But the good heart, he says this, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he which heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. And bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So not everybody's fruitful to the same degree. How much are we going to allow ourselves to be fruitful? I know this, I'm not 100-fold, but I want to strive for 100-fold. And you ought to strive for that. And as God tries to work in your life, you say, God's not working in my life, something's wrong. He ought to always be working in our life. He's trying to get us to where we can be even more fruitful. So he purges us. What else does God want for us? Verse 3, he wants us to be clean. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, there's different. You ever seen fruit and you pick it? Some fruit doesn't look as good as others. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't know how to shop. You know, I go, it's like, I'll go with my wife sometimes, like, go grab some tomatoes. I'm like, it's hit and miss. I'm like, what's a good tomato and what's a bad tomato? You know, this one's big. Maybe it's good, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty hard to mess up lettuce, okay? You know, if there's no fungus on it, go with it. But it's like, I don't know what's good fruit or what's bad. I'm sure there's some that's better than others. I know I don't like green bananas. Okay, you know you want the yellow ones. I'm not that colorblind. I can't see which ones are ready to go. I know you don't want the black spots on them. Leprosy, I don't know what that is. But some is better than others. And God said, listen, I want you to be fruit, but I want you to be clean. Now God cleans us up through his word. Because it's so easy in this world in which we live to get dirty. It's all over the place and opportunities all the time. And if we're not careful, we do things we shouldn't do or we say things we shouldn't say and things happen. And God's like, let me clean you up. God wants to work on us. Most Christians, by the way, I have found don't want that. You know what they want? They just want a little bit of Jesus. You know, let me just attach Jesus to everything else I'm doing here and everything's going to be okay. Jesus says, no, I got something more for you. We just want enough to feel good about ourselves. Like, hey, I gave God his. Now let me go do what I want to do. Everything that the Bible says is being dirty is now being celebrated as normal in our society. And too many Christians buy into the same thing. Why don't we just listen to what God says? Why don't we just find out, hey, this is what the scripture says. No wonder we're not clean. No wonder. By the way, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't want to be different, to be weird. But if you're just growing as a Christian and just trying to do the things God wants, you are going to stand out. Now, not as a Pharisee, you know, hey, look at me. I'm just saying, there'll be qualities about you that the world will look at and say, there's just something different about you. You come to work and you have a good spirit. You come to work and you work hard. You try to get along with people. You're not cantankerous and you're not this and you're not. And it's like, where's that coming from? It's like, it's from God. God just working in your life. What else does God want for us? He wants us to be heard. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, we'll talk about that in a minute, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How would you like to be able to pray in such a way that God listens? See, there are certain prayers God's not going to answer. Lord, bless my lotto ticket. He's not going to answer that one. Now, if by some chance Satan answers that one for you, remember, we do have a building to build. And that's dirty money, and you bring it in, we'll sanctify it. I'm kidding, okay? No kidding. In the early 90s, I believe it was, there was a preacher in Chicago, and he preached against the lotto. He preached hard against the lotto. Then one day, his wife won. He said, you know, my thinking has changed just a little bit. I'm going to buy you a new church. Okay. Now, you want to know how our prayers can be heard? The closer we are to God and the more of we know of his word, the more we're going to pray the way that he would want us to pray. And when we pray the way that God wants us to pray and we're praying for the things that God would want us to pray for, we're in tune with him. And he's going to hear us. Most prayer is 911. You know, hello, God, 911, what can I do for you? You know, I have this emergency in my life. Great, how you been? I haven't heard from you in a long time. And by the way, I'm not saying if you have an emergency, the good place to go is to God. Amen? Yeah. But I'm just saying, why don't we go to him even when we don't have 911? Yeah. But look, you want God to hear you? Let's stay close to him. Let's let him work in our life so that it's just natural for us to pray the things that he wants us to pray and pray the way he wants us to pray, and he'll hear us. You know what else he wants for us? He wants us to be faithful. Verse 9, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And then he goes on to explain that. You know, most people are not, continue means keep going. It's not just something you do for a little while and then you fall off. It's like, let's strive to be faithful. Let's just continue. I like that word, continue. You read in the book of Acts, and the new people continued. And he names the things they continued in. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just a sometimes yes, sometimes no. It was like, you know what? I just want to continue. Be faithful in the things that God wants me to do. Be faithful being what God wants me to be. Be faithful growing in him and having that relationship with him. Not one day having a great relationship and a great time with God, and then he doesn't hear from us, and we don't listen to him for a week. None of that kind of thing. Faithfulness. Just being a continuing Christian. It's not, look, most of us see God's love as a license to do what we want to do. But that's not really what it is. 1 John 5:3 says this, for this is the love of God. I have found a lot of churches love to talk about God's love. And by the way, you ought to. God's love is a big deal. There's a church by our house, you know, the wave of God's love. Okay, whatever. But God's love is more than just, let me give you a spiritual hug and go do what you want. Let's just see what the verse says, shall we? Because you want to talk about the love of God? I love the love of God too. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Didn't see that coming. Well, I thought God's love is that he loves us so much. He loves us more than the things that we're doing. He doesn't mind if we do those things because his love overrides all of that. Let me read it again. By the way, this is New Testament, after Jesus. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But don't you understand? His commandments are keeping me from the kind of life that I want to have. He thought about that in advance, so he also wrote this. And his commandments are not grievous. He's got it all covered in one verse, people. The average alleged Christian church today, all they emphasize is the love of God, which is fine if they emphasize it the right way, and they don't. God loves you more than all those things in the Bible. That's grace. Let me read it one more time. And this is New Testament. This is after Jesus. This is after grace. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Could it just be that God loves us so much that he wants the best for us, that he gave us the path to get what's best for us? And could it be that that path are the very commandments we think keep us from that which he has for us? Quit listening to what's being said out there and listen to what's being said in here. Faithfulness. He wants us to be obedient. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Oh, I'm just so in love with Jesus, then do what he says. It's not that hard. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. See, the Bible's not a fact book, it's a manual on life. And then the last thing he wants for us is to be joyful. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. To be joyful is not anti-Christian. And if you want to use the word happiness, that's fine. I understand that it's not based on circumstances, but that's fine. That's the word we use. That's what God wants for you. The problem is, you and God, sometimes me and God, we have different thoughts about as how we get to that happiness. We think getting to that happiness is doing my own thing. He says, no, it's doing my thing. So he told us what he wants for us. These are things that will keep us from being a spiritual zero. So how do we get it? What do we do for it? Really, really briefly, I want you to get this. We know what God wants for us, and I hope you don't want to be a spiritual zero. And I don't mean that, I'm not using that in a vulgar sense. But how do we get it? Three things. We're done. Know your place. Verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Know your place. You are not the vine. Jesus is the vine. You're a branch. Yep. See, most of us do not know our place. We want Jesus to be attached to us. We don't want to be attached to him. Now, you would not publicly ever come out and say that, but most Christians do that. Jesus is the main root. We are the branches. We're connected to that. We are to be connected to him and not the other way around. Yeah. Jesus, I got my life planned out. Jesus, I think I know what's best. Jesus, this is what I'm doing. You come, connect yourself to me, and it'll all be good. It doesn't work. Yeah. That's the wrong position. That's not the place. He's the vine. You're the branch. We have to know our place. We don't give God his rightful place in our life. We want him there. Don't get me wrong. You wouldn't be here this morning unless someone made you come. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't have some kind of thought for God. But we have to let him have his place and not determine what kind of place we want him to have in our life. It's like he said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? It's almost like don't waste my time. Don't come here and tell me I'm your Lord if you're not going to listen. You're wasting my time and your time. Go do something different. But let's not attach him to us. Let's come and say, Lord, how can I be attached to you? Know your place. B, know your position. What's your position? Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Back to verse 5, I am the vine, you are branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. You know what your position is? Your position is to be connected to Christ, to abide in him. Be connected to him. Get close to him. Spend time with him. Allow him to lead your life. That's where it is. Christ is not a once-a-week thing. All right, came to church Sunday morning, got my Jesus fix, we're good. Doesn't work. You know, the Bible tells us in Scripture we're supposed to meditate in Scripture how long? Day and Does that mean we walk around all day? Hi, how are you doing? Matthew 4:17. No. You know what it means? Scripture's always on our thoughts. If something comes up, it's like, what would Scripture say about that? If a decision comes our way, how should I make that decision based on what God's word said? It's always there. And then we're supposed to pray how often? Day and night. Again, someone comes by, say hi, and you're on your knees? No. But you know what? Whenever anything comes up, you could just immediately talk to God about it. You don't need to drop on your knees. You could do it in your mind, your thought. It's like in Nehemiah. Nehemiah's talking to the king, and he's going to ask him if he can go back to Jerusalem. And the king says, what do you want? And before he answered in his heart, he's praying. Lord, help me get this in. Say the right thing. Open his heart. That's what it is. It's always that attitude that God is always right there. We're abiding in him. We are connected to him in such a dynamic way. And then the last thing is know your power. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know what we desire for you in this church as you come? We want you to grow in your faith. Grow in your faith. And by the way, we have things we encourage you to do, but it's as you abide in Christ. We can't make anybody grow. So what we're trying to do is push you to the vine. Because if you connect with the vine, you know what the natural process will be? You will grow. You plant a seed in the ground. The soil is good. The seed is good. You water it. You do the things you're supposed to do. If everything is happy, is in good shape, what will naturally happen? The seed will grow. It will grow. It'll bear branches that will bear fruit. Why? Because everything is healthy. You want to grow? Why don't you get connected to the vine? Because if you don't, I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to make it. One of the reasons we had the Explore the Book, because you got to be connected to the vine. You've got to get connected to Christ so he can work and grow you. Then you will bear fruit. Amen. See, you know, I'm struggling with things. I like what RU does. Not the ones who are struggling. But I like what RU does. They have the devotions. They call them the daily meds. Not those kind of daily meds. What are they saying? Listen, you want to overcome whatever addiction is bothering you, whatever sin is a part of your life, you better get connected to God. Because if you don't, you'll still be right where you always were. But if you connect to the vine, now you have that power flowing in your life and you will bear fruit and you will gain victory. You want to be a zero? I don't think you do. But sometimes we let that, the most important thing in life, our relationship with God, get off to the side. And without him, we are or we will do nothing. Let's stand this morning together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.